The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
All that the cross has done for you, you carry out to others.
Coming up, best-selling author and international speaker Lisa Bevere reveals how she became aware of the many injustices that women suffer throughout the world.
So many people need somebody to cry for them. And God is asking us to be His hands and His feet.
A challenge to carry your cross like a hero. Next.
I want to welcome you to life today. It's such a privilege to share this time with you. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to be with you. Lisa Bevere is with us. She's one of our favorite people. She and John, we absolutely thank God for the friendship that we have and that really we're co-laborers. Lisa has a new book called Girls with Swords. And she has gone all over the world, as has John, in relationship to our mission outreaches. They've not only supported it and they've not only prayed for us and stood with us, but they've traveled, so to speak, to the ends of the earth for the glory of God and with Life Outreach and Life Today. Well, Lisa has a new book. We're going to talk about it, but then we're going to actually, literally, you're going to see where she has been, and we're going to talk about how we together make an indescribable difference in impossible situations. You want to hear about this book first. Welcome, Lisa Bevere, to Life Today. Lisa, good to see you again. I want to know, because, you know, we had you earlier in the week and you told the story of your dad. It was phenomenal. You can always go back. Remember this. You can go back online, lifetoday.org, and you can scroll back and you can watch a program. This will be well worth watching, as any of them would be, but this in light of what we're talking about. Tell me what you hope and basically what's the gist of Girls with Swords.
You know, I really had such an awareness that young girls and actually women are being targeted right now. You know, we're going to be talking about sex trafficking and just the assault on that. But there's also pornography. There's misogyny. And there's something called gendercide. They're saying right now there's between 50 million and 160 million women missing off the earth. 50 million women missing in China, you know, and India, where they just, they've been aborted before they were born just because they were women. And you have to say, why are they a target? What is it that is targeting the women right now? You know, before the birth of Moses, they began to kill the infant boys. And then before the birth of Jesus, they killed all of the young boys, two and under. And now Jesus is coming back for a bride, and we see an all-out assault on women. So you have to think, if there's such a target, could it be that they just might be a hero? Could it be that in these last days, God is going to put His hands on His daughters to come alongside the sons with such vibrant strength? Could it be together they would be unbeatable? And so this is really about what it means to carry your cross like a hero, because we don't respond with fear, because before we were ever targeted by the enemy, we were chosen by God in Christ.
You know what I was hearing in my spirit, in my heart while you were talking? It's not women taking over.
Oh.
It's not women being taken over anymore by some force here, sinister or otherwise, or women trying to forcefully take over or assert themselves. It's God taking over and really becoming the king, and we really become conscious of His kingdom purpose. And women, in my opinion, are the greatest source of inspiration apart from Holy Spirit work. And I believe this is the hour, really, for women to, you know, T.D. Jakes said years ago, right here on the program, that he believed that women were going to be a part of adorning the bride, of the getting ready, because they're all a part of that. That's part of what they do in a natural wedding. Mm-hmm. And I really believe this is an incredible day for them. And I'm excited about what you're writing. Yeah. And you believe that when people read the book, they're going to come to understand just how important they are in the eternal kingdom purpose of God.
You know, I believe the purpose of Lioness Rising was to wake up the women to what was going on in the world, and this is to arm them for battle.
That's great.
Because women, God gave women certain characteristics in them, that a sensitivity and a knowledge of Him, and, you know, and how important God is to our lives and what place, part we can play in that.
Yeah, and the Word of God is a sword. And it's interesting, there's only one sport men and women are the best, there might be another one, but there's one sport in the Olympics, it's called fencing. And it's because it requires intuition, strategy, and endurance. And women are as good at fencing as men are.
Yeah.
So handling the Word of God, we can be just as good as the men are.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, it's really, we're not really supposed to be competitive in the first place in the sense of trying to prove one's greater than the other. We're really supposed to be one in the truest sense of the word, and the church. The family of God's going to have to learn what it means to be rightly connected, each member important. Mm-hmm. You don't tell the member that you don't see, like my feet, my hands may look pretty active, but I can't do much if I can't stand on good solid feet and solid legs. Mm-hmm. And we really need one another, and I think there's going to be that great coming together. I want to take you on a journey back where you were, because we are talking to our viewers. And again, we do what you so often inspire us and encourage us to do. We go all over the world, and we're in connection with missionaries around the world who have both the heart of God and a personal desire that God put in their heart to be involved in certain situations that they believe are important enough that most of them leave all the comforts of what we would call a normal life in an advanced country, and they go to the ends of the earth and plant their lives in the midst of misery and pain to lift people up out of the despair. Now, you don't need to get downtrodden if you don't feel the call to go there. But what you do need to feel is the call of God to enable them to be effective where they are. So when we see something that a missionary brings to our attention, or we see what they're doing that's effective, and we bring it to your attention, we can only do it and fulfill the call or accomplish the concern that we have, the compassionate expression. The only way we can do anything about it is for someone out here to say, I want to help. Lisa, you wanted to help, and you went into the midst of hell. You went into the pain, and you have been an inspiration to people out, but we can only get them out with your help. Let's look at this, Lisa, when you were literally in the bowels of hell, so to speak, in pain. Watch this.
During their recent trip to Southeast Asia, the Life Mission team met a young girl whose history is all too common in the world of human trafficking. Shrey Ni grew up in a poor village and was suddenly orphaned at 8 years old. She lived on the streets, picked through garbage, and eventually worked as a household servant. One day, an older woman persuaded her to go to the city with her for a better job. As in most cases, this offer was a lie, and Shrey Ni was sold to a brothel when she was a young girl. And thus began the lifestyle of pain and abuse that has left Shrey Ni broken and desperate.
I'm sitting here with a very brave young girl, Shrey Ni. I have to realize that she represents the 2 million children that are at risk. If we do not rescue the children, they're going to end up right where she's at, trapped in the chains of human trafficking.
After sharing her story with the team, Shrey Ni said she had a question for Lisa.
All right, so the question that she asked was, before I had a family and before I got married, if I ever went through anything like she's been through. Okay, so you know why she's asking me that? She's saying, I want to know that you know how I feel at some level. I know you're not where I'm at, but I want to know that you're not judging me and you understand my pain. And what she's saying is, I want to know I'm not alone. I want to know there's somebody out there that understands me, will not judge me, and can be touched with what I have gone through. And what now will you tell her? That not the same struggles, but that I was a very broken sexual woman, and that I made a lot of bad choices, but that Jesus Christ came into my life. He healed every broken place in my life, and He gave me a new beginning. Can you tell her that?
Shrey Ni,
This young girl has a dream. God has a future for her. And we are so excited that you want to be part of this, establishing this and rescuing life.
Oh boy, I know you've heard, and Betty and I did take the time to share with you our youngest daughter, Robin, that we lost right after Christmas to the destructive force of cancer and the broken heart. And the thing that I kept hearing from Jesus, I had never jumped out at me before, setting captives free. I had preached it and experienced it. But I just kept hearing. It was an uninvited sentence. I didn't just start thinking it. I kept hearing Jesus say, I came to bind up the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. And Lee says, I watched you put your arms around that precious girl. And she was embraced. She moved into your embrace, the way God wants us all to move into His arms. See, it's one thing for God to want to put His arms around you. It's another thing to move in to that embrace. It's one thing to want to embrace. It's another thing to long to be. And she felt that love, and she moved toward it. I believe this is what God wanted me to hear through what we experienced, that He can bind up the brokenhearted. And the world is broken. People are devastated, downtrodden. They feel overlooked and unloved. And none of that is true when it comes to God looking at them. It's just that God is looking for arms and hands to do what you did. I mean, there you were, and you hurt her heart, and you let her see the heart of God.
Yeah.
Now we're coming to the viewer. And we're saying, okay, we want to get them out, but we need to put them somewhere. So we've moved with the missionaries from rented quarters to where we're building centers. We've got a life center in the Ukraine where the missionaries there lost their first child there in the Ukraine, and yet said, we won't leave now. We buried a child, but we're staying here to get these people out of death and destruction, a devastating fire. It's going to cost us $275,000 to restore it. We must restore it because it's an incredible center of life, rescuing so many people. And I'm praying 275 people will just step up, and even a day say, I'll give 1,000. Somebody says, I'll give 1,000, and you be one of them. But that we need to do that. And that's an emergency situation. But our rescue, these people in the trafficking, it takes $128 per child or per person to either rescue them before they get caught by the predators, or get them out and then take care of them. And so we're asking all of our viewers, can you give $128 to do it? You inspired us to do this. The missionaries brought it to us. You said, because we didn't think we could do this. We said, people, I didn't want to hear about how people are being trafficked. But you said, not only do we want to hear about it, we want to correct it. Mm-hmm. We want to be the answer to that dilemma.
That's right.
And that is actually why we're here as believers. It's really the reason you wrote Girls with Swords. It's about really helping people, putting the arms of God's love around a broken world. I believe that our viewers will experience an incredible release in their own life and a joy when they put God's arms around broken people.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to be honest with you, James, that I was just undone watching that. And one of the things that she did in that moment where actually I was holding her and she began to feel my tears on her head, and she just stopped and she looked at me and she put her hands on my face and she wiped away my tears, and she turned to the interpreter and she said, you tell her nobody has ever cried for me. You know, so many people need somebody to cry for them. And God is asking us to be His hands and His feet. And there is no greater way to carry our cross than to carry the hope of Christ, the love of Christ, the provision of Christ, the resources of Christ to other people that are yet waiting to hear. You know, I feel like you and Betty have been such a leader for John and I. This was one area. The loss of a child was never one I wanted you to be a leader for us. But the fact that you are taking this and saying, okay, in eternity, but we will not let these young girls that are captive remain this way. You've made it so easy for somebody to do something, to love them, to reach out beyond themselves and to touch them. And she, and again, I said it there, there's no way to say it better. She represents hundreds of thousands and millions of trapped people.
You know, Lisa, what really touched me as I listened to you there, your heart, and you, I can tell your heart was just broken for her, but she wanted to know if anybody understood her hurt and that she wasn't alone. And that's what all of them are asking. Does anyone notice what I'm going through? Does anyone notice I'm dying here?
Yeah.
Does anyone care? And that's where we have the opportunity to step in and let them know there is hope.
Yeah, and this is something that is what was Christianity 101. You know, Jesus said, if anyone wants to be a disciple, let them deny themselves. Take up their cross and follow me. And you know, when I was writing this book, I began to have such a revelation that people don't know what it means to carry the cross. And it's really a personal directive. It's your cross, James, your cross, Betty. Mm. And I was climbing into bed one night and I said, you know, I'm so tired. I went through the hardest year I've ever been through last year. And my mother had had some strokes and I was up late every night to make sure everybody was safe in bed. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, Lisa, what does it mean to carry your cross? And I said, it means to lay down my life. He said, no, deny yourself is laying down your life. What does it mean to carry your cross? I said, well, sacrifice. He goes, no, I don't want your sacrifice. I want your obedience. What does it mean to carry your cross? And then I heard, where do you keep your cross, Lisa? How much does it weigh? How do you know when you're carrying it? How do you know when you've left it home? I literally sat up on my bed and I said, I don't know. And it was Easter weekend and I had asked people, what does the cross mean to you? Love, hope, redemption, atonement, forgiveness, salvation, safety, security. I had made this big list and it was so scribbled that I decided to type it out on my iPad. It was 36 different words. And when I typed out the last word, I heard the Holy Spirit say, behold, the cross. All that the cross has done for you, you carry out to others. And you do it by following me. When you guys let me go there, I carried my cross to that young girl. And I said, let me tell you, the cross has meant healing to me. The cross has meant love to me. The cross has meant restoration to me. You know, the cross is not an ornament. It's an order.
Yeah.
And we are charged with the name of Jesus and the light of God's truth to take into the darkest places. And that is what I have felt like I have been able to do as we have partnered with Life Outreach.
Well, you know, that is what we do together. This burden that you see, this compassion, this God squeezing my heart, isn't something that started because I saw some mission opportunity. It's what I've been doing 50 years. It's what Betty watched me start doing when I was a teenager. Started 11 people, and I've never stopped. I've never stopped. You know what Betty said when we lost our daughter and the pain? She said, do you think we're experiencing a little bit of the fellowship of Jesus' suffering? I said, the very thing Paul prayed for. Well, we're feeling what he felt. We feel that. But Betty, we feel it for people all over the world. And it's not going to go away. Paul said, I am daily bearing in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. And his sufferings was what? Caring for others.
Yeah.
Pouring his life out to give life. I mean, that's the fact. And then he said, being conformed to his death, that I may know the power of his resurrection, the abundance of life, even without abundance. And abundance not taking away life and stuff, not taking away what he gives us. And then when he has blessed us, whether it's meager or great, we release to others the extended hand of God, the love of God, to embrace the suffering, to care for the dying, to pick them up. As the song says, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave, lift them up. And that's what we're doing. And we're asking you to do it. We're asking you right now to reach out and touch someone with God's love. If you dial the number that you see on the screen and just say, I want to help. I want to see a life changed by the power of God. That's what we're asking God to do. Would you dial that telephone number? Would you take your bank card and say, look, I can give $128 to rescue one of those precious girls or children. I will help you rebuild that Ukraine Outreach Life Center that has been devastated by a fire. We're going to do that together. And that's what we're asking you to do. Would you do it? We want to bless you with some gifts. Betty wrote her story, Free to Be Me. She never thought she'd be a part of writing a book. She never thought she'd be a part of going all over the world to love people and encourage people to care for others. We'll send you that for any gift you make, the Life Application Study Bible to help you grow. We're asking you to help us rescue these precious lives, rebuild that life center that was devastated by fire. Make the gift God's put on your heart right now.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent boys and girls, many very young, are being forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can help reach, rescue, and restore thousands of children from the horrors of the sex trade in Thailand, Cambodia, India, Ukraine, and many other nations. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help reach, rescue, and restore one more child from the horrors of their kidnappers. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Free to Be Me, Betty Robison's updated account of how she moved from fear and insecurity to true freedom. You'll also receive the companion journal for your quiet time and daily reflections. With your gift of $128 or more to help rescue a child, be sure to request your copy of the Life Application Study Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help rebuild the Life Center in Ukraine destroyed by fire, or $1,280 to help rescue 10 children, and you may request the limited edition bronze sculpture titled Christian. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
So this is my first time in Southeast Asia, and my very first opportunity to come face to face with the victims of sex trafficking here. The girls that I met in the brothel really expressed so much of feeling trapped, feeling hopeless, feeling like there was no way out for them. And you know, I can just remember myself as a young girl being sexually abused by my stepdad over and over again as a child, feeling like there was no way out. I had no voice. I had a secret to keep, and there was nothing I could do about it. And these girls are living through the same thing, day after day, you know, night after night. And I can just imagine how hopeless that felt. You know, I even asked one of them what help looked like. What would it look like to be helped out of this situation? And she couldn't even come up with an answer, because to her, there was no help. There was no option. My only answer is, you know, that I want to bring hope to these girls, that I want to bring rescue to these girls. They shouldn't be living through this. We can be the answer. We really can. I believe that. But we've got to become an army against this. The body of Christ could totally change the culture, could totally change the world when it comes to modern day slavery. But we have to be willing to let our hearts be broken for these girls.
You know, this is a child that was rescued, literally, who lived in the sewer in Romania. This is Christian. And we have made this into a 50-year commemorative bronze. And for those of you who will give $1,000 or who will help us rescue 10 children or more, we want to send it to you. Betty's book, we're so glad to send it, the Life Application Study Bible. But also today, if you'd like to have Lisa Bevere's book, Girls with Swords, you help us do what Lisa's talked about doing, what we've talked about doing together. Let's do it together. Let's put God's arms around a hurting, broken world, okay? Would you join us in? Thank you to Lisa for joining us. We really appreciate you, Lisa. Love you. Tell John hi. Tell him to come back soon, okay?
I will.
Y'all are always welcome, okay? Thank you so much. Hey, thanks for being friends for life.
But the only way we're not going to forget is because we're going to deliberately remember.
Tomorrow on Life Today, don't forget to remember. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.